Hotel check-in.
Yeah, with many of the hotels we've covered in this series, we've usually found there's often a central character or characters who loom behind the inception of the hotels. Characters with very much a singular vision or an eccentricity that's reflected in the building. Hotels very much seem to be real reflections of the personalities of their builders at times. And the Hotel du Cap Eden Rock on the French Riviera is no exception. A man called Jean-Hippolyte de Villemessant was the man who started it all back in 1865 with the idea to start a tranquil retreat for artists and other creatives to be relieved of the anxiety of the creative process and bask in the sun of the beautiful French Riviera. I wonder if making a radio show would qualify as a creative process, because that sounds like somewhere I would like to go. Alexandra Campbell has written a book about the history of this iconic hotel, and she joins me on the line from London tonight. Hello, Alex. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, Suzanne.
Now,
thanks for having me on the show.
No, you're very welcome. Take us back to the late 1800s. The French Riviera was an established destination for people to have their summer holidays. But who did it attract at the time?
It was mainly the British aristocracy and the Russian aristocracy, the Tsars and Grand Dukes and Duchesses. And ditto the nobles of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and a few other nationalities as well, including Japanese, interestingly enough. And then the Americans began to come in at the late 19th century, but Europe had been, travellers had been going to Rome and also Greece on grand tours from the middle of the 18th century. So it wasn't anything new really travelling around in Europe, but the south of France really started taking off at the end of the 19th century.
Now, Cap Antibes, which is where the hotel was built, was pretty undeveloped at the time, wasn't it?
Very much, yeah, you're very much so, you're right. In the 1860s, it was still owned by about 200 tiny parcels of land owned by a couple of hundred owners, French owners. And then a speculation, properties and land speculation started around then with a few Russians there already from the 1850s. So the arrival of the Russians in the Mediterranean is not a new thing.
So who was Jean Villemessant, and where did he come from?
Well, he was a Frenchman. He was the owner of the Figaro, which he bought in 1854. He was a journalist. He was a larger-than-life character who had had a rather difficult upbringing. He was sort of more or less an orphan when he was quite young. He was illegitimate, and he'd sort of had a difficult life. But he was he had a great talent for writing and became a journalist and a philanthropist. And he came up with the idea for this haven for burnt-out creatives in 1865. And he wanted to sort of have a beautiful retreat in the south of France where the weather was lovely and where food and wine were plentiful. And he could put people up at subsidised rates.
Right. So I was going to say, he was obviously had enough money of his own if he was a philanthropist. So he obviously didn't start in order to make an absolute mozzer on it. So why do you think he had this sympathy for the poor creatives and wanted to do this for them?
Well, I think a lot of his, you know, he had a lot of friends, you know, who were creatives and whom he saw getting rather frazzled by city life, you know, in the 1860s. And his poor mother and sister had found themselves without a roof over their heads when he was quite young and had taken their own lives. So this tragedy, I think, sort of really informed his way of looking at people who'd gone through difficult, you know, difficult times, and I think he just wanted to help people, really.
So almost a kind of a balm for people who might have some mental health issues.
Absolutely, without a question. And I think, you know, he himself found the whole sort of business of running a newspaper quite stressful. And I think when he started also writing about social issues, he came up against a lot of criticism. So I think he'd found writing sort of things that were uncomfortable for the authorities, stressful and tricky. So I think he really was out to help people. And I think at the time he was criticised by some people who thought he might be, trying to make a quick buck down in the south of France where property and land prices were very low. But I still think he had some philanthropic impulses in him, really, definitely.
So we're talking to Alexandra Campbell, who's the author of Hotel du Cap Eden Rock, a timeless legend on the French Riviera. So it opened as a hotel, but it was only open for just a brief period. What happened?
Yeah, it opened in February 1870, and then in the summer of 1870, the Franco-Prussian War broke out, and that just put a stop to travel. I think that went on for about 6 months or so. And after that, there was a period of great financial and economic hardship. It was called the Long Depression in the 1870s. And really, the hotel didn't reopen till the 1880s.
And that's when a new character called Antoine Seller enters the picture. Who was he and where was he from?
He was from Piedmont in Italy. And he himself, he was also had been made an orphan at the age of six. So very young, he couldn't continue with his education, and as a teenager had to look for work. He had the support of a very big family, the Seller family, which was involved in a number of things. Banking was one of them, winemaking, textiles, and so on. And he was helped by the family to find work and to find work experience. And he got into hotels. And he managed and ran a hotel in Adorno, which is in the foothills of the Alps. And it was a sort of spa hotel, a grand hotel with spa facilities. And he realized that in order to make money and to make a career out of running a hotel and hotels generally, he would have to diversify and invest in a place that could be open in the winter, but would offer really, offer warmth and sunshine in the winter months. And that's why he was on the lookout for somewhere in the Mediterranean. And he'd heard that the hotel, the Grand Hotel du Cap, Cap d'Antibes, was sort of languishing and it had nettles growing around it, and you know, hadn't really found an owner. And he saw it from the sea in 1887, and he was on a boat. He saw it from the sea, and he said, "I've got to have it."
And then there we go. So he ended up. I mean, the Seller family ended up running it for many years, didn't they? Because his son took over in the 1930s. How long were the Seller family behind the hotel and running it?
Well, he finally managed to own it in 1903 with the help of Lord Onslow, who gave him a cheque for £500,000. And Lord Onslow had been a sort of valued client and loyal client. So from 1903 to 1969, I think it was, the Seller family had it. And then sold it on to a German family called the Oetkers, who also saw it from the sea, from their yacht in 1964, and thought, we have to have it. It's so beautiful.
Right. Well, if you're a property seller, this is what you do. You take everyone out in a boat and they'll fall in love with the place from afar. Now, I want to make sure we get time to talk about all the famous guests who've stayed over the years, Alexandra. So tell us about Gordon Bennett. Who was he?
Oh, James Gordon Bennett. He was the owner of the New York Herald in the 1860s. And 70s, and he was a funny character. You've heard the expression Gordon Bennett, haven't you?
I feel like I have, but I'm not quite sure. I couldn't. I looked and I thought the name seems familiar, but I don't know why.
I'll tell you the story. He was a real character, and he in the 1870s, I think it was. His sister was looking for somewhere to stay in the south of France. She'd been recently widowed. And he was looking around. He'd heard of the hotel. Actually, must have been later than that because the Seller was there. So it was the 1880s. And he offered Seller £10,000. 10,000 francs, sorry, at that time, a lot of money, if he could sort of reserve some rooms for his sister and her party of 14 people. And she turned up, saw what she, you know, liked what she saw, and said to him, this is great, I love this, it was sort of three rooms, and the three best rooms in the hotel. And she said, I'm very happy here, thanks very much, but I don't want to be troubled with bills at all, so we'll give you a further 30,000 francs, and then you tell me when the money runs out, and I'll give you some more.
And how long did she stay?
She stayed for quite a few weeks. And at that time, Suzanne, it was the winter season. You know, people went to south of France to get away from northern climes and, you know, cold weather, and the weather would be really quite lovely down there throughout the winter period. It would be like a sort of English spring. And James Gordon Bennett, he was in a moment of drunken madness, relieved himself in the fireplace of his prospective parents in New York in the 1870s. And I think everybody around witnessing this said, Gordon Bennett, you know, and he was never, I think the engagement was broken off there and then.
Too sweet, absolutely. Goodness me. Now, Alexandra, just run us through, I guess, some of the sort of more famous guests, the ones we'd know about who stayed in the first part of the 20th century.
A lot of American writers and artists stayed there in the 1920s. Scott Fitzgerald has got an association with a hotel. He was living in the south of France in the 1920s. I think he finished the Great Gatsby in the south of France. And when 10 years later, Tender as a Night came out, its opening chapters are set in the hotel. He used the hotel as a setting for the opening of Tender as a Night, which is exquisitely written.
Yeah, there were some Russians who arrived sort of prior to the revolution and left their belongings there and never came back. And there was some quite precious items that got left at the hotel. What were they?
Yes, I think there were some Fabergé eggs and, other sort of jewels and things that were left there. And I think the hotel did, guard them for these poor people who'd had to escape. I can't remember exactly what happened to them. I don't know if history relates what happened to these things, but certainly, a lot of white Russians found themselves in France at the time of the revolution and afterwards. And some of these people had to, do very menial work, found themselves as gardeners and chauffeurs. And in fact, that comes up in Tender as the Night. So, complete reversal of fortune for these people, that they were, they were welcome in the south of France. And of course, they liked the climate there, so they stayed.
Much better than Russia, that's for sure. So once the film industry got up and running, Alexandra, you had sort of Hollywood glamour started coming to the area and to the hotel. Now, Marlene Dietrich was a regular, and I understand she started a quite famous affair while she was staying in the hotel.
Well, I mean, which affair did she start?
Oh, okay. I thought it was the one with Joe Kennedy Sr.
She started an affair with Joe Kennedy in 1938. And she was at the hotel with her then boyfriend, Eric Maria Remarque, who wrote All Quiet on the Western Front. And she was there also with her husband, who was there with his mistress. And their daughter and their dog. And I think Eric Maria Remarque was suspicious that Dietrich was having an affair with Hemingway, who was there at the time. But in fact, she wasn't having an affair with Hemingway. She was having an affair with Kennedy in his cabana right by the water. And then a year later, she met a woman sort of cruised in on her yacht, on her schooner, somebody called Joe Carstairs. And she began a relationship with her. So it was sort of...
Right, many affairs that began at the hotel. Now, there was also quite a few members of British royalty who were headed to the hotel in the 30s and 40s, weren't there?
Yes. I mean, I know that Edward the VIII, when he was Prince of Wales or with Mrs. Simpson, was down in the south of France and staying there, and soon after they got married. And then, of course, they leased a villa nearby and lived in the south of France until the outbreak of war. So, Churchill was there painting, loved his,
His watercolours, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yes, his watercolours. He was staying at the Chateau de l'Horizon, which is another neighbouring villa, which was then owned by, later on owned by Ali Khan, who famously met Rita Hayworth at the hotel in about 1946 or 47. That's
I know in the modern era, Alexandra, that's sort of who's who of film stars have stayed there. And I did mention at the opening of the show that apparently Kate Moss famously got kicked out of the hotel for having a bit of a tantrum. What can you tell us about that story?
Well, do you know, Suzanne, I know nothing about that story because all sort of recent Hollywood stories sort of were covered by a French journalist in the book. So I really stopped be discreet about it. I don't know. I can't tell you anything about what Kate Moss got up.
Well, the story I heard was that, or I read, was that, yes, they asked her not to wear her bikini in the hallway and she got very angry and trashed her room, and then they asked her to leave the hotel. So you've stayed there, haven't you, Alex, obviously researching this story. What's it like?
It's absolutely fantastic. It's a beautiful place. It's incredibly peaceful. The service is second to none, it's incredibly beautiful, and you just have a feeling that it exudes certain spirit, which is really an extraordinary feeling of that you're part of history there. That you know, it's seen some interesting people and people who've experienced momentous and tumultuous moments of history.
I suppose it's still a haven for creatives in some ways, given that it attracts all the glamorous Hollywood stars. What sort of price? How deep would our pockets had to be if we wanted to stay there?
I think quite deep, actually, Suzanne.
if you have to ask, you can't afford it, that kind of deep?
I don't know. Do you know, I still don't know how much it costs to stay there. Because I was lucky enough to stay there a couple of times doing my research on the house. I would say that quality rather than quantity, you know, matters here, and if you wanted to go and have an experience that you would remember for the rest of your life, you'd be advised to go there rather than anywhere else. And I think a day there or 2 days there is better than a couple of weeks anywhere else.
Well, let's know young Australians can afford to buy a house. Why don't you spend the deposit on that, folks? Sounds like it'd be pretty memorable. Alexandra, thank you so much for joining us on a hotel check-in to tell us all about the Hotel du Cap Eden Rock.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne.
That is Alexandra Campbell. She's the author of Hotel du Cap Eden Rock, a timeless legend on the French Riviera. Sounds pretty glamorous, doesn't it?
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.